They are.
I know a lot of reports and publications and documents to talk about today. But yeah, three strands to it. The first one, that strategy that you mentioned there, we can mention in a minute. But that third one, the implementation one, is important. So you've got the strategy document, you've got the governance framework, and then the implementation roadmap. And this really, that last one, the implementation roadmap, this arises from the 116 recommendations included in the three external reports, which the Minister for Media, Catherine Martin, had published in May. So this document will outline when and if RT will implement the changes suggested, if they've not done so already. Some have already been rolled out. And the overall aim of all these publications, of course, is to continue to satisfy the requirement from the Minister to release the full interim funding for the organisation. So these documents are really significant.
The strategy then, it's a really big part of this. What can we expect to hear?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have it yet. We're going to get it later on, and the staff will be discussing it with the DG when he rolls it out with the interim, his interim leadership team at 3 o'clock. So it'll be interesting. But at this stage, we can expect to see certain things raised in it. And for the staff at RT, I suppose one of the main talking points is going to centre on the reduction in headcount, the net headcount reduction of 20%, which is around 400 people. Now, this strategy, as we say, it's due to cover 5 years. So would that headcount come down through natural attrition over time? There is an understanding there won't be compulsory redundancies, but there's been a lot of speculation about a pending voluntary exit package for staff. So the strategy today is expected to address any package and maybe outline how it might work, including any terms and conditions that may be attached to it.
So this will make RT smaller in one sense, will it?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, the five-year strategy builds on another strategy. So in November, for example, the DG published the 10-point strategic vision. And what happened then was staff and public had consultations on it. All of that feedback, all the things that have arisen since then, have fed into this kind of final document today. So we do know lots of bits that were there in November that should be built on for today. So yes, number one, there's two things happening. One is RT demonstrating to the government and to the minister that they're getting their house in order as such. And secondly, is staff, what kind of changes are going to happen? And in November, the DG did say hard choices will be made about the challenge of managing RT's future against an uncertain financial backdrop. So we're going to see how that comes through later on.
What would that mean for the independent sector, for regional broadcasting?
Well, I suppose it was very good news for the independent sector and for regional broadcasting. Back in November, RT had said that the station will have two production centres, with operations in Cork expanding, reducing Dublin, and a renewed commitment to Limerick and Galway. We'll get more details on that too. The independent bit is interesting because, again, production from RTE, commissions to the independent production companies, there should be talk of an increase of an overall investment of 50% above current levels by 2028. Now, you know, is RTE going to discuss the prospect of this? Obviously, more people work in the independent sector means you need more qualified staff to work in the independent sector. So where do they come from? What happens there? There's a long tradition maybe of people who worked here for years going to the independent sector, but that's going to be interesting now too.
So RTE will look quite different in 5 years, but the cornerstone of this new strategy is funding. Can we expect to hear anything from Kevin Backhurst on that today?
Yeah, I mean, it'll definitely look smaller, and I suppose, as you say, the main thing is funding. Now, the issue is the decision on funding is one for the government and not one that Mr. Backhurst can make, but it is undoubtedly a cornerstone for it. What we are maybe expecting to hear later on today is him calling for even more clarity on the timeline. But as you mentioned, we have a new Minister for Finance in town, so that's going to be interesting. That throws an interesting shade on this too. So it's an ongoing story.
Evelyn O'Rourke, thanks for all of that. Busy day ahead for you. Thank you.
Sport on RTE Radio 1.
Now, here with the news of sport is Michael Corcoran. Michael, a sad day. Micheál O'Meara Hurtig passing away. What are your memories of him?
It is a sad day. I mean, 93 years of age. I mean, a fantastic age. And a man I had the privilege of working alongside for a long period of time in the sports department. There are one or two things that I was kind of thinking about in the last hour or so in relation to him. And when rugby was the Aviva Stadium stroke Lansdowne Road was being refurbished, and rugby moved to Croke Park for the start of the 2007 Six Nations Championship. And I'd obviously been to Croke Park as a fan and everything like that, but never as a broadcaster. And I remember he arranged for me to go to Croke Park for the football semi-finals and final the year before in 2006. I think it was Dublin Mayo and Kerry against Cork. And he got me a seat in the row behind where he was sitting, so I could kind of visualise what my job was going to be the following year for the Six Nations Championship. And I was just completely fascinated at how he operated, because he had two members of his family, one on either side, and they were helping each other, and there was arms flying all over the place, pointing at, you know, various little snippets of information and the whole thing. And he kept, I mean, the ball was, as Jarnet Byrne said earlier there, the ball was always up and down the pitch at 100 miles an hour. So too was his commentary, to be fair about it. And so too were the people helping him, that I was absolutely exhausted coming out of there thinking, do I have to try and emulate something like that, to be fair about it? But he was a brilliant man. He was a brilliant man. God rest him. That was one of early memory of him, that first game Ireland losing to France. But he was very, very helpful with advice to younger people, to be fair about it. And the tributes that have been paid already in this programme have been iconic, to be fair. May he rest in peace. Just a couple of things in terms of the other sports news of the day, and it seems kind of insignificant, to be perfectly honest about it. Some really big games in terms of the Euros 2024. The Austrian boss, Ralf Rangnick, has urged his side to get the result they need against the Netherlands to avoid the complicated scenario of finishing third. Austria will guarantee one of the top spots in Group D if they beat the Dutch. That game is at 5. France in action against already eliminated Poland. Later on tonight, the spotlight is on England. They will top their group with a win against Slovenia. Denmark and Serbia are the other two games. So a lot of play in the Euros on a day like this.
Michael Corcoran, thanks a million. And that's the news this lunchtime. Mark McGrath was on sound today. Broadcast coordinator was Anne-Marie Donlan. The editor of the News at One is Connor Barnes. Stay tuned for Liveline up shortly with Katie Hannan. But before we go, we'll leave you with the voice of Micheál Omar Hertig, a broadcasting legend. May he rest in peace.
50 yards out from the Dublin goal, on the right-hand side of the field, Maurice Fitzgerald kicking it, dropping it in toward the goal, dropping it in. Johnny Dooley would be wise to tap it over the bar and hope for something to develop later on. Johnny Dooley looks as if he'll go for the point, all right. No, he doesn't. No, and he's got the goal!
This summer at Boots, we're with you for hay fever relief to take on that hot, as well as foot care to take care of yourself afterwards. With buy one, get the second half price on health solutions, we're with you for saving summer. Boots, with you for life. Selected stores, products and boots.ie. Excludes medicines. Cheapest product half price. Offer ends 10th September.
Edith Piaf. The iconic French chanteuse. Friday, July 12th at the National Concert Hall, the National Symphony Orchestra and the acclaimed Piaf singer and interpreter Camille O'Sullivan pay tribute to her. And to her Belgian soulmate, Jacques Brel. With signature songs including Milor, No, Je ne regrette rien, La vie en rose, and Ne me quitte pas. CNCH.ie.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Step into summer with our new curtain designs and colours. Explore our latest designs in store or online.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan here with you until 3 o'clock on this day, this very sad day, where we are hearing the news that we have lost Micheál Omar Hertig, a Kerry man extraordinaire, an Irishman extraordinaire. I see the statement in from the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, there saying the word legend gets used too often, but for Micheál, it is almost not enough. And those are very, very true words. I played this clip earlier when I was talking to Shea Byrne, and I think we should play it in because it was in his own words, his feelings about leaving the stage, his first leaving of the stage when he retired from commentating back in 2010. And This is Micheála Mura Herteig speaking on The Late Late Show on that occasion.
I've been enjoying every single game I ever did since 1949. Now I began to say to myself, supposing the day came that I'd no longer enjoy it, that I'd look upon it as going out to do a day's work. Mm. And I said I'd hate to experience that. I think that's what swayed me more than anything, to decide that I've been doing it long enough, and while it's still most enjoyable, to leave the scene.
Micheála Mura Herteig, in his own words there. We should say as well, of course, the country is coming to terms with losing a national treasure, voice that was the voice of the GAA, but the voice of Ireland for many of the diaspora for decades. But of course, his family and his close friends have lost somebody very, very special. And our thoughts, of course, are with all of them today. I want to go to somebody who would have known, who knew Micheál very, very well. Bomer Liston, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
And I know I broke the news to you a little earlier there, Bomer. It's shocking. I mean, he was a great age. We say that, but it's always too soon when you're losing somebody of Micheála Mura Herteig's stature.
Yes, look, he was a great friend, and a great friend to a lot of people. But he's left great memories behind to a lot of people. He'll be fondly remembered. And I'd just like to take this opportunity of sending my sympathies to Helena and all the family. He was really, truly loved, especially by all.